Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Wake County Sheriff's deputies are investigating a deadly shooting. What we've learned about the victim and the person authorities believe may be involved.
Breaking news at a groundbreaking ceremony in Raleigh. A medical emergency puts that celebration on hold. We'll have a live report.
Plus, the January 6th attack was fueled by lies. Those words from the special counsel investigating former President Donald Trump's possible role. New this noon, police are investigating a deadly shooting on Fieldcrest Lane in Wake County. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We have a crew in the air and on the ground. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan arrived on the scene within the past 30 minutes. Chelsea, what do you see and what can you tell us?
Yeah, we should mention we're here on Fieldcrest Lane. This is just south of Fuquay Varina. Wake County Sheriff deputies still on the scene waiting for forensic teams to come in here. This is a call that came in at 9:25 this morning. Wake County Sheriff's Office have confirmed that one adult male has died and one adult male has been detained, not yet arrested. This is a shooting that happened inside of his home. No one was inside the home but two men. The sheriff's office says that the victim.
The important thing is there's no danger to the public. This was, we feel comfortable that this was a relationship, some relationship there. I don't know the exact details of the relationship, but it wasn't a stranger's, is my point. And so there's no danger to the public at this point.
And that was Chelsea Donovan reporting there south of Fuquay Varina on Fieldcrest Lane. Investigators are looking into a homicide there. Within the last hour, Raleigh City leaders and developers broke ground on a new round of affordable housing. 200 units are being funded in part by the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency and the City of Raleigh. WRAL's Julian Grace is live with the exciting news. Julian.
Oh, Renee, you said it best. This is very exciting. 200 units right here will be built behind me. The groundbreaking just took place moments ago. And some say the best part about this is this location is less than a mile away from the Raleigh Convention Center. Now, the housing project is an attempt to tackle the pressing housing challenges faced by the community. Right now, about half of North Carolinians and residents in Wake County are spending 30% or more of their monthly income on rent alone. Now, once this is complete, households earning 40 to 60% of the area median income can move in. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk to so many different people later this evening. Tonight at 5:30, we have a one-on-one interview with Mayor Mary Ann Baldwin. And we're also talking to residents about what they think about this project. And Renee, you stated this a little bit earlier. There is just so much excitement surrounding this. And I do want to let you know this, Renee. There was a situation where there was an elderly spectator who was out here who had a medical emergency. And then immediately everybody stopped what they were doing to attend to her. It just shows you the community that is here and that will be built here as well.
Julian Grace, live in Raleigh. Julian, thanks.
The price of buying a home in Wake County dropped last month. New data released yesterday shows the median price in July was $465,000. That was down $10,000 from June. The number of homes it sold also dropped. 1,787 homes sold, nearly 300 fewer than in June.
Security is being stepped up in Washington, D.C. ahead of former President Donald Trump's court appearance tomorrow. He is expected to answer to four new counts related to efforts to overturn the 2020 election. NBC's Garrett Hake reports.
This morning, Donald Trump accused of grave offenses against the country he once led and the Constitution he swore to protect. The former president indicted by a federal grand jury on four felony counts, accused of conspiring to overturn the 2020 election he lost to President Joe Biden. That effort, according to special counsel Jack Smith, culminating in the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
Described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election.
The sweeping 45-page indictment charges the former president with conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against people's right to vote and have their votes counted. Prosecutors say despite losing the election, Mr. Trump was, quote, determined to remain in power and spread lies that he had actually won. But prosecutors say Mr. Trump knew those claims were false. The indictment outlining that the former president was told there was no evidence of election fraud by key officials, including the vice president, Justice Department leaders, the director of national intelligence, and even state courts. Mr. Trump, prosecutors say, deliberately disregarded the truth.
That was Garrett Hake reporting. Trump's former vice president, Mike Pence, says the indictment serves as an important reminder anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. Approval of the U.S. Supreme Court is at a record low. A recent survey found the approval of the high court stands at 40%. This poll was conducted in July, just after the justices made decisions on affirmative action, student loan forgiveness, and voting rights. The court's approval rating has remained steady since late 2021, when it allowed a restrictive Texas abortion law to stand.
This afternoon, we're continuing to press Raleigh police for more details in a pair of shootings yesterday in North Raleigh. You can see on this map where those two shootings happened just miles apart, one on Lead Mine Road, the other on Glenwood Avenue near Creedmoor Road. Police also blocked off a third scene farther down Glenwood Avenue yesterday. They haven't said how or if that scene is connected. WRL's Eric Miller has been digging into this today. Eric, what have you learned?
Well, Jeff, you can see here on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall, things are back to normal this afternoon. We've been pressing Raleigh police for more details on the condition of those victims from yesterday, as well as if there are any ties between these two shootings. As of right now, we're told these are both, quote, isolated incidents. I want to send you to some video from Sky 5 now. This is what things looked like yesterday afternoon, right around 5:30, just after that shooting happened here. Raleigh police say they got the call. One woman found shot here on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall. She was rushed to the hospital. We're told she is supposed to recover. Now, at almost the same time, at that food line on Lead Mine Road, there was another man shot there. We're told he was taken to the hospital. Very serious injuries there. But as of right now, no update on the condition of either victim. And we are continuing to press Raleigh police for more details here, asking if they have anybody in custody. What is the status of this investigation? Of course, we'll bring you those details as soon as we get them. Jeff.
And we know you keep working on answers there. Eric Miller live in Raleigh for us. Eric, thank you. We are also working to learn the name and condition of a person who was hit by a car on North New Hope Road in Raleigh. This happened just before 12:30 this morning. Police say the driver remained on the scene. It's unclear whether any charges will be filed.
New at noon, doctors in the Triangle are tracking a summer surge in COVID cases. Wastewater tracking in North Carolina has revealed rising COVID-19 virus particles since mid-June. In that same period, doctors at Duke Health have been treating more COVID patients. It's part of a nationwide trend of rising COVID hospitalizations. Duke doctor Cameron Wolf says the summer spike seems to be an ongoing pattern with the virus.
As bad as what we've seen in previous years, but enough of a reason for folks just to be conscious that this still exists and around in the community and be sensitive of your symptoms for sure.
Dr. Wolf says vaccines are helping to prevent severe illness in healthy people and seem to reduce the risk of long COVID. However, COVID still is a dangerous illness for people with weaker immune systems and other risk factors. He says a new booster is coming later this year.
School leaders in Wake County are calling for help as the bus driver shortage is being described as a crisis. The school system's interim superintendent used that word last night as board members got an update about the situation. With less than 4 weeks to go before the start of the traditional calendar year, 17 bus routes are without a permanent full-time driver. This affects 2,000 students. Interim Superintendent Randy Bridges is asking people with commercial driver's licenses to step in and help, and while the district recruits more drivers. Wake County plans to split several schools among substitute drivers, with priority given to elementary school students every day. Wake County teachers have another way to stock up on school supplies without having to dip into their own pockets. The Wake Ed Partnership Tools for School Classroom Supply Shop opened yesterday for teachers and certified staff. The classroom supplies are purchased by Wake Ed Partnership or donated by different community partners. Teachers are given points to use on the items. You have to sign up on the Wake Ed Partnership website ahead of time to get a spot.
The annual Clear the Shelters campaign is back for 2023. WRAL is joining stations across the country in promoting adoptions from local animal shelters through the entire month of August. We're making it easy for people to donate online to shelters and rescues and possibly finding the next furry member of your family. Even if you can't adopt right now, you can help homeless pets. Find our shelter wish list, including items they need and volunteer opportunities at WRAL.com/shelters or scan the QR code right now on your screen. Next at noon, a response from North Korea 2 weeks after Army Private Travis King bolted across the border from the south into that country, where his fate stands today.
Also, iconic Joshua trees are being threatened by fire in Nevada. How big that fire has grown after crossing the border from California.
And a danger to animals posed by a lack of diversity, the plan for better representation in the veterinary field. Brian.
Renee, it feels great outside this afternoon for early August in North Carolina, but we are tracking wildfire smoke coming into the area. I'll tell you what that could mean for your afternoon plans and how much longer this fairly comfortable weather sticks around.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
We're learning more about the fate this noon of Army Private Travis King, who ran across the border into North Korea more than 2 weeks ago. Fox News correspondent Alex Hogan has more from London.
It's been just over 2 weeks since Army Private Travis King crossed the border into North Korea, a shocking act that left the Pentagon, the White House, and much of the world wondering if it was a defection or a tragic accident. And now, for the first time since he left a tour group and sprinted across the border, Pyongyang is acknowledging the incident.
United Nations Command did communicate to the Joint Security Agency. I can confirm that the DPRK has responded to United Nations Command.
But little else is known about the conditions under which King is being held and whether he's cooperating with North Korean intelligence. The Pentagon is conducting a joint investigation with U.S. forces in Korea about King's actions, while the State Department reaches out to regional powers like China to help learn more.
Have the Chinese indicated in any direction whether they're willing to engage on that?
I don't know if it came. I just don't know if it came up.
The incident with Private King comes at a difficult time. We've seen an uptick in North Korea's military activities, including multiple missile tests last week. And over the weekend, high-ranking defense officials from China and Russia visited Pyongyang, getting a first-hand look at Kim Jong-un's most advanced weapons.
If North Korea, China, and Russia are under pressure by the United States, they might be trying to show that they have a military security alliance to resist it.
That was Alex Hogan reporting. North Korea criticized the U.S. once again, calling the new special envoy a, quote, political housemaid.
More developments in the search for missing Moore County woman Alicia Watts. Newly obtained search warrants reveal Watts's boyfriend attempted suicide. Anson County deputies say they found James Dunmore inside her vehicle, unresponsive on July 18th. That's after he reportedly told officers he was taking a nap in the parking lot. WRAL has also learned that Dunmore has a history of domestic violence. He's considered a person of interest in her disappearance. Family and friends held a second vigil last night for Alicia Watts as they desperately wait for answers. They came together in Southern Pines for song and prayer. After the vigil, family and friends collected donations to help with the search.
We can keep these searches on the ground that the community wants to do. It's just getting the word out, talking to people in the neighborhoods and getting them to know what's taking place.
The donations help pay for charter buses for their searches. Watts' family and friends say they plan to travel to Charlotte this Saturday. Now, if you want to read more about the ongoing search and investigation, we have a full breakdown online at WRAL.com.
The LGBTQ plus community is mourning the murder of O'Shea Sibley, a gay black man who was targeted at a Brooklyn gas station for voguing. The form of dance originates from New York's black, queer, and trans ballroom community. The 28-year-old was a professional dancer and choreographer. He stopped at the gas station with pals, where he got out to dance to Beyoncé's tune Renaissance, which was playing in the car. Surveillance footage then captured the horrifying moment. Sibley was accosted by a group of men who told him to stop dancing and started using slurs. Police say one of the men stabbed Sibley. He was pronounced dead at a hospital. The stabbing is considered a possible hate crime. Beyonce honors the life of O'Shea Sibley, a fan who was killed while reportedly dancing to her music that we just told you. The homepage of the entertainer's website reads, "Rest in power, O'Shea Sibley."
Two people are hurt after a fiery crash involving a tanker truck and another vehicle. The collision then caused the truck to burst into flames. It happened this morning in the northbound lanes of Highway 75 in Plano, Texas. Both the truck driver and the driver in the other vehicle were taken to the hospital. The extent of their injuries is unknown. No word on what caused the crash. Firefighters are battling a large wildfire in California and southern Nevada, which are threatening the iconic desert Joshua trees. The York Fire is considered California's largest fire of the year. It has burned more than 82,000 acres as of this morning. The fire began Friday in the New York mountains of California's Mojave National Preserve and crossed state lines into Nevada on Sunday. Now, did you get to see this really cool thing? A bright light streaking across the sky last night. One of our WRL viewers sent this picture from Morehead City of a rocket heading to the International Space Station. Other viewers also sent us pictures of the rocket's path across the sky. It launched just after 8:30 last night from Eastern Virginia. And check this out. This is the International Space Station flying over the WRL Tower last night. Meteorologist Mike Mays was able to capture this amazing video from outside our station. So the skies were clear, at least for that. But I know in other places it was a little too cloudy for folks to see anything last night.
And it might get a little bit more hazy today because of some wildfire smoke Brian alluded to off the top here. Let's get over to him, the WRL Severe Weather Center, with how it looks right now.
Unfortunately, the wildfire smoke that has kind of been plaguing us all summer is back today. Here's a live look at the DBAP there on the WRL Live Cam Network, and you can see that haze there in the sky. I want to show it to you from space. This is our visible satellite picture, and as we zoom out there, you can kind of make out, I hope you can see it on your TV, there's a little bit of a lighter gray that kind of pushes off the Great Lakes into the mid-Atlantic states across North Carolina and out into the Atlantic. I've highlighted it here for you. All of that is that wildfire smoke, and most of it is aloft, but some of it could mix down to the ground as we head later through the afternoon. Here's a look at current air quality, and we're not talking about big problems with air quality this afternoon as far as we can tell. A lot of green, mostly green in our area, but a couple of spots that maybe have reached that code yellow air quality. That's where we are right now in Raleigh at 54, which puts us just in the yellow. The overall forecast for the viewing area through the rest of the afternoon is right around 50. So the bottom line here is that this is not going to be a huge impact issue for air quality at this point. Somewhere between the code green and code yellow, it should be safe for most people to get outside later today. As we take a look at our smoke model as we head through the rest of the afternoon, you can see where it indicates some of that mixing down to the ground. What it means for our sunset, though, later this evening, it means it should enhance it. Should be a pretty spectacular sunset later this afternoon because of that smoke in the air. So be on the lookout for that. Let's take a look at temperatures right now. 79 degrees in the Triangle. We're up to 82 in Fayetteville, 77 in Roxborough. Warming up, but nothing like the kind of oppressive heat that we could be seeing this time of year. We're calling for a high later this afternoon in the upper 80s, generally upper 80s, maybe mid 80s there in our border counties. But the big story is the fairly comfortable air outside. We have flow out of the northwest bringing in some drier air, and right now our dew point stands at 59 degrees, which puts us right there between the comfy and tolerable categories. Feels pretty good for the early part of August in North Carolina at this point in the day. If you can get outside today, do it, because we're going to start to see things deteriorating tomorrow. More moisture coming in. You're going to feel it getting a little muggier. More showers possible in the afternoon tomorrow. You're going to notice more cloud cover. I think most of us will stay dry through the day, but it couldn't rule out a shower. And then as we head into the evening hours and overnight with an approaching cold front, we'll start to see more rain and maybe some rumbles of thunder. It's going to be a pretty messy Friday morning the way it looks, and it looks like Friday could just be a cloudy, generally wet day overall. Temperatures only rising into the lower 80s on Friday. Latest model data that we're getting indicates Saturday may be fairly cloudy, and later this afternoon, Kat and Mike will be looking at that model data. They may have to adjust that temperature from 90 down just a little bit. But then the heat returns as we head Sunday into Monday, feeling like August should feel in North Carolina.
See that again, Brian, thanks. More than a week after state officials released their damage report from an EF3 tornado, the governor issued a disaster declaration for Dorchess. But what does that mean for the people who live there? Tonight at 6, Keenan Willard explains how this move brings more supplies and resources to those affected.
Did you know that just by being a college student, you can unlock hundreds of dollars worth of deals?
Students can get at least 10 to 15% off everything from retail to entertainment to food.
Coming up, Five on Your Side is going to tell you exactly where you can find them.
Welcome back. You're looking live at Carolina Beach. It appears as the haze seems to be extending all the way to the coast, but that's not stopping folks from enjoying a very pleasant day at the beach. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube and the WRL app. NASA is jumping into the streaming wars, and a major ratings agency downgrades the U.S. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aver.
Fitch has downgraded the United States credit rating. It's the first downgrade by a major ratings agency in more than a decade. Fitch cites the U.S.'s growing debt burden and what it calls an erosion of governance in Washington. The move pushes the U.S. credit rating down one notch from AAA, which is the highest rating. Investors use the ratings as a way to gauge the ability of a country or a company to pay its debts. Bed Bath & Beyond is back, at least online. Overstock.com, which bought some of the retailer's assets, has rebranded itself and then launched a new Bed Bath & Beyond website. The site sells Overstock's furniture as well as Bed Bath & Beyond's home goods items. As for those famous blue coupons, you can get 25% off when you download the app. The new site is simply bedbathandbeyond.com. NASA is taking the streaming wars to the moon. The space agency is launching an on-demand streaming service called NASA Plus. The family-friendly service will feature the agency's live streams as well as collections of original video series. NASA Plus will be free and no subscription is needed. Look for it later this year on the web and on Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, and other platforms. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
More Americans are staying on the job, and there may be a key reason. Labor Department numbers for June show fewer Americans quit their jobs than in May. Some analysts believe the job market is now tightening. If true, analysts think the Federal Reserve could start pulling back on raising interest rates.
Tinder is preparing to launch a new high-end membership this fall. The product refresh is expected to cater better to Gen Zers. $500 a month offering is dubbed Tinder Vault, and executives believe there's a market for daters who are willing to pay up for quality matches and experiences. For the first time ever, some Lunchables will include fresh fruit in their packaged platters. Kraft Heinz says its newest Lunchables will include clementines, apples, pineapples, or grapes. The meals will also contain the typical crackers, cheese, and meat choices as well. The Lunchables are currently only available at select grocery stores in the South Central region, but the company says the option could be available nationally by 2024.
Right now, authorities are searching for someone they say led them on a multi-county chase. How the person was able to get away and what we know about the investigation next.
Plus, in order to treat pets across the country, veterinary professionals are calling for their field to become more diverse. How who is helping animals could be just as important as the work they are doing. And here are your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Authorities say a person is on the run after leading them on a multi-county chase in a stolen car. Michael Grace drove the WRAL Breaking News Tracker to Durham County as officers search for the driver.
Yeah, well, this all started in Holly Springs and then ended in the parking lot of an Amazon fulfillment center here in Durham County. I want to get you to this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. You can see that car actually came into the parking lot, popped the curb, and then ran into a tree. Now, that person then got out of the car, ran across TW Alexander Drive and into that woods. Police ended that physical search for the driver this morning at around 4:30. We do know that the car was reported stolen. Maryland. Now, I had a chance to speak with a sergeant at Fuquay Varina Police Department who was also out here. He says right now they're going to be processing that car, figuring out who the owner is, and then take that information and hopefully get a lead on a potential suspect. But right now, no timetable on when we'll get any more information. In Durham County, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Johnston County schools are preparing for the school year with technology to keep kids safe. Hundreds of parents and students attended summer information fairs at some of their schools yesterday. This will be the first year, full year, with all the county school buildings with weapons detection systems in place. The district began installing those systems back in March. Parents tell WRAL the $6 million investment is worth it.
I'm telling you, these kids are so easy to get their hands on things these days, as well as the adults, so you don't never know what's going to happen. Just as long as my kids are safe, I'm good to go.
Each school will get two of those systems. One will be at the building's main entrance, and another can be used at an alternate entrance where buses drop off. That second system is also portable. It can be used at heavily attended events like football games.
This week, North Carolina education leaders will consider new rules that would allow more students to enroll in schools for the deaf and blind. The proposal would expand enrollment to allow students with intellectual disabilities and mental health conditions to attend. The move comes as the State Board of Education is in its final year overseeing the schools for the deaf and blind. The General Assembly voted this year that the schools should have their own boards appointed by the legislature.
They basically said these schools should have their own boards, and they're mostly going to be appointed by the legislature versus the State Board of Education, which is mostly appointed by the governor with some legislative approval.
That new rule will go into effect July 2024.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland, Johnston, and Lee counties. Tonight, Cumberland County residents have a chance to tell their views on issues that matter to their community. The United NC Town Hall Tour makes a stop tonight at the Tony Rand Center at Fayetteville Technical Community College. It's the fourth stop in a statewide nonpartisan tour in key legislative districts. The event begins at 6:30. In Lee County, Sanford police are warning of a string of phone scams. The department says it's gotten many complaints from residents saying they got a phone call from someone claiming to be an officer with Sanford police. The scammers tell people they owe money for a citation or ticket, and if they don't pay, they will be arrested. The scammers try to get payment through Cash App or buying gift cards. Police remind you, no officer in Sanford will ever call you and ask for money. In Johnston County, a new mural will soon join the county's mural art trail. This mural is called Welcome Home Warrior. It represents veterans from World War I up to recent times, across different branches of the military as well. It'll go on the North Carolina Legion Post 71 building in Clayton. You can see what it looks like so far, but it is not quite finished yet.
In order to treat pets across the country, veterinary professionals are calling for their field to become more diverse. Marianne Rafferty talks to experts about why a lack of representation in vet medicine can impact the overall health of animals.
No matter what kind of pet you may have, looking after their well-being is an owner's top priority. And especially with the pandemic having led to a rise in pet ownership, more people now have animals that will need to see a vet to ensure they're healthy. But according to a growing number of veterinary professionals, a lack of diversity in their workforce may prevent more people from wanting to have a career in this field, leading to fewer vets in the future, which can compromise the overall health of animals.
In order to attract young people to veterinary medicine, they need to see people that look like them.
Out of the more than 100,000 vets in the U.S., nearly 90% are white. Less than 2% are Hispanic, and practically none are African American. This according to the latest data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And this lack of diversity means there aren't enough vets to cater to the diverse populations they serve.
People from all walks of life and backgrounds tend to gravitate towards their specific communities. And so it's important that the veterinary profession be diverse to meet all the needs of society.
That's why many vets are encouraging kids from all backgrounds to explore a career in animal medicine while they're young.
It's great to foster it in the, you know, in the early junior high school time, because I think there's a lot of prep that you can do to be more ready and more successful at just launching into that career.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. And it's a good time to enter the field. The Bureau of Labor Statistics expects jobs for vets and vet technicians will grow 16% by the year 2029.
Breaking news this noon. Just moments ago, a jury sentenced a man to death after being convicted of the deadliest attack on Jews in the nation. Robert Bowers shot and killed 11 people and injured 8 others at a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018. Bowers' lawyers claim he was mentally ill and held delusional beliefs about people of the Jewish faith. He was convicted in June of 63 counts, including hate crimes resulting in death. Staying in bed all day by choice. There's a new term for that trending on TikTok. We'll explain why this self-care tactic can also turn toxic.
Plus, more zoo experts confirm that, yes, this is a real bear and not a man in a bear suit. The particular species that stands with excellent posture.
The term bed rotting is taking off on social media. It's when someone decides to spend all day in bed, scrolling through social media or binge watching their favorite show. Younger people are embracing it as a form of self-care, but when can it turn negative for their mental health? A pediatric psychologist says taking a day off to rest in bed isn't necessarily a bad thing, but spending too much time in bed can lead to social isolation, and that is a risk factor for mental health disorders.
You are a parent and your child has been spending significant periods of time in bed. That is raised for concern. You know, children have social and emotional needs. They have activity needs to be out playing with peers, learning. And so those are really important for social emotional development.
Doctors advise parents to have open conversations with their children about mental health and don't hesitate to get professional treatment if a child is showing symptoms of depression or anxiety.
The family of Henrietta Lacks is getting justice after more than 70 years. Her cells were taken without her family's consent and led to groundbreaking medical discoveries. Lacks died of cervical cancer in 1951 at Johns Hopkins, where doctors cut out a sample of her cancer cells without her permission. The cells, nicknamed HeLa, were the first to grow well in a lab setting and are now a bedrock of modern medicine. Her family sued Thermo Fisher Scientific, saying the company made staggering profits from the stolen HeLa cells. The family settled for an undisclosed amount.
Today on her 103rd birthday, we got justice. Her legacy is in good hands. Our family is standing together in solidarity to push forward. We're going to keep making sure Henrietta never dies, such as her HeLa cells never die.
Lacks never knew that her cells would be part of everything from genome mapping to the eradication of polio. A bipartisan bill introduced last week would give Lacks a posthumous Congressional Gold Medal. New research shows artificial intelligence is detecting breast cancer better than doctors with years of experience. The study looked at 80,000 women in Sweden. Half were assigned to a group that had AI read the mammogram before a radiologist looked at it. The group whose scans were assisted by AI found 20% more cancers than the group without assistance. More research is necessary before doctors fully turn over the diagnosis process to AI.
Putting an end to a conspiracy theory, the proof some officials are offering that this is, in fact, a real bear.
Plus, get outside today and enjoy the weather before the muggy meter rises. You're looking at a live picture from our WRAL Tall Tower cam. We do have hazy skies today. Meteorologist Brian Schrader will have our afternoon forecast after the break.
A zoo in England is trying to abolish the conspiracy theory surrounding a bear in China. Footage of a Malayan sun bear standing on its hind legs at a zoo in China went viral. Some suggested that bear might actually be a human in a bear costume after it was spotted standing upright and waving to visitors. Now other zoos are posting videos of the same species of bear performing similar behaviors. Sun bears are native to Southeast Asia and are considered a threatened species. Get ready for your daily dose of cuteness here. The Whipsnade Zoo in England is celebrating the birth of twin red pandas as part of a European breeding program for this endangered species. They were born June 25th, weighing just 4 ounces. Red panda cubs are blind for the first 30 days of their lives and rely heavily on their mothers. Zookeepers say the twins are just starting to open their eyes now, but they likely won't venture outside at least for another month.
Pretty hard to top that cuteness. Mm-hmm. America's Got Talent is known for serving up buzzworthy performances, but one performance during last night's audition round is sure to have people talking. Mark Barger talked to the man whose ability to inspire may be his top talent.
Zion Clark felt right at home taking the AGT stage.
I'm really just used to it. It's kind of like a comfort space, you know? I feel comfortable when I'm up there.
The 25-year-old from Canton, Ohio, was born without legs and grew up drifting in the foster care system.
Pain is temporary. You know, it is something that, you know, it can let weigh you down, or you can make your friend and use it to rebuild and build yourself up stronger.
Clark's audition gave his physical prowess a showcase.
Tremendous trip.
But his mental fortitude.
I made it here to America's Got Talent to show the world that anything is possible.
May have impressed everyone even more.
We use the word amazing a lot, but I think it really applies to who you are.
I'm not one that looks for other people's approval, you know. I was already happy with myself by the time I was done, but then the crowd reacting the way they did, that's just icing on the cake.
Clark credits the mom who adopted him at age 17 for spurring him on, possibly to AGT's live shows starting later this month.
In your mind, you already know what your next performance is going to be?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I just don't want to tell nobody.
And while Clark awaits AGT's call,
you defined the word inspiration.
He's already had a moment to remember.
What I expected was nothing. What I got was an incredible experience.
Mark Barker, NBC News.
Clark was a wrestler in high school and college. He's also a mixed martial arts fighter. And Clark told Mark Barger that he also has an interest in music, so that might be a clue about a potential second performance for Zion on AGT. Stay tuned.
He's not telling yet. The final round of AGT auditions comes up next Tuesday night, 8 p.m. here on WREL. Live shows begin August 22nd. Just an amazing story. Inspiration certainly comes to mind with that, but the condition, so rare, nobody really knows too much about it other than that he was born without legs.
But clearly, I mean, he is just doing amazing things, and his smile, his spirit, so contagious. He also has the Guinness record for fastest man on two hands. That's pretty amazing.
Fantastic. He's got it all going. Brian Schrader's over in the WR Severe Weather Center right now. Look at Warrenton for us, Brian.
Yes, and some hazy skies. We've got wildfire smoke blowing into the area yet again. Not seeing the big, beautiful blue skies that you would expect as you go outside and you don't have that, oppressive humidity. It feels pretty nice out there, and it kind of goes along with the idea of really blue skies. But right now we're seeing a lot of haze out there, including over Raleigh. We take a live look from North Hills. The live air quality data reading that we're getting right now is 54, and that is right there in the yellow category. But the forecast for the afternoon is still calling for the values to hang right around 50 or so, which is still in the green. So we're not anticipating big problems with air quality this afternoon. As we take a look at that live air quality map, almost everybody is in the green, but there are a couple of spots that are just touching into that yellow. But as we head through the rest of the afternoon, some of that smoke may begin to mix into our area here on the ground, and we may start to smell some of that, but we're not anticipating any significant problems with air quality. You can see that wildfire smoke coming in from Canada there from the visible satellite. That northwest flow that's bringing that smoke over us also is bringing us some of that drier air, which is contributing to how it feels pretty nice outside, relatively nice, with a temperature right now, air temperature of 79. That dew point is at 59, which is pretty comfortable. This afternoon, we're going to touch 88 degrees as we head toward 3 and 4 o'clock. And if you can get outside this afternoon, you need to, because as we take a look over the next couple of days, I think this afternoon is going to be the best of them all. As we head into tomorrow, we're going to start to see a little more moisture getting into the area. It's going to feel a little more humid. You'll notice some more clouds. And as we head into the afternoon, rule out a shower, but I think that most of the rain holds off until Thursday night into Friday morning. A cold front approaches, bringing us that increasing chance of showers and maybe some thunderstorms. The Friday morning commute right now is looking pretty pretty messy, and it looks like Friday is going to be maybe an overcast, fairly wet day with showers and thunderstorms. And as we take a look at how much rain we could see over the next several days, maybe up to a half inch of rain in the Triangle area, maybe a little more back into the Sand Hills. So under some of those showers, it could come down pretty hard. That is our forecast for Friday, just kind of a gray day with temperatures reaching only into the lower 80s. It looks like Saturday we may stay mostly cloudy, and that temperature of 90 that we're calling for may be a little high. Stay tuned later this afternoon. Kat and Mike will be looking at some new data, maybe looking at those high temperatures as we head into the weekend. But the overall idea is that once we get through that cold front coming through Friday into Saturday, we start to heat up again early next week, maybe getting into the low to mid 90s, and our afternoon rain chances return with those showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon.
Brian, thanks for that. Golfers now have a one-seed advantage on the board after a controversial merger between the PGA Tour and Saudi-backed LIV Golf, what the newest member could offer the new organization.
No jackpot winner for the Mega Millions, but there is someone in North Carolina who matched all five of these white numbers to win $1 million. Last night's winning Mega Millions numbers are 8, 24, 30, 45, 61. The Megaplier is 4. The jackpot climbs to $1.25 billion, and the next drawing is Friday night.
We wrap things up this noon with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Wake County deputies are investigating a deadly shooting in Fuquay's Arena. Sky 5 flew over that scene at a home on Fieldcrest Lane. Deputies say they arrived about 9:30 this morning to find a man who had been shot to death. A person of interest in the case is in custody at this hour.
Doctors in the Triangle are tracking a summer surge in COVID cases. Wastewater tracking in North Carolina has revealed rising COVID-19 virus particles since mid-June. In that same period, doctors at Duke Health have been treating more COVID patients. It's part of a nationwide trend of rising COVID hospitalizations.
More affordable housing will be built in downtown Raleigh. Raleigh city leaders and developers broke ground on a now new neighborhood of 200 housing units that are being built less than a mile from the Raleigh Convention Center. The project is funded in part by the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency and the City of Raleigh. Tiger Woods was named the sixth player director on the powerful PGA Tour policy board on Tuesday. It represents a sharp shift to the players in golf's power structure. Five of the policy board members are independent directors who have professional backgrounds in law and business. The merger ended a feud that had dogged the sport for the past year during the time many elite PGA golfers accepted highly lucrative offers from LIV Golf. Woods' presence on the policy board may provide professional golf some stability.
Football is back in action. You can get your first look at the 2023 Carolina Panthers tonight on WREL. Fan Fest will air live tonight at 7. You will see number one overall pick Bryce Young and the rest of the team at practice. WREL's Pat Welter will be there covering the event, and we will have live reports before and after practice.
And Renee, tomorrow preseason football kicks off right here on WREL. It begins with the Hall of Fame game. The New York Jets take on the Cleveland Browns in Canton, Ohio, a game you can watch. All the action starting at 7 p.m.
Our pet of the day is making up for a rough start in life with a playful spirit. Domino has a vibrant personality, is fluffy and ready for his forever home. He's a toy mouse enthusiast and an expert at back rubs. Domino prefers to be the only kitty in your life, as he's an alpha, but he could potentially get along with a cat-savvy dog. He's neutered, microchipped, and fully vaccinated. And if you are ready to give Domino the loving home he deserves, then submit an application on the Cat Angels website.
Is that giving or getting back roads?
Maybe both. What a cutie. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day. It's a good one to get outside today.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.